Well, it's finally here. After 3 years of waiting, the Scrum Guide has finally been updated. If you currently work in Scrum in any role, or just new to it, you'll want to check this out as we review the 2020 Scrum Guide on this episode of The Agile Within.
Welcome to the podcast that challenges you from the inside. Come be more and discover the agile within. And now here's your host, Greg Miller.
Welcome to another episode. I am very excited today. Today is 20, and yesterday, November the 18th, the new Scrum Guide dropped. I was fortunate enough to be able to attend the live virtual session online. I got locked out at first. There was on Zoom. Everything's on Zoom now because we're in 2020 or remote. Nothing is in person. So we got locked out. They had maxed out the attendees, and I got a little frustrated. I kept trying. Third try, I got in, and I guess they made more room for people, but it was well attended. People all over the world were chatting in. I saw people from Brazil, Spain, everywhere, United States. I live in the United States, as I've said before. So it's a very exciting day. I'm going to be reviewing it today. I have some comparisons. I'm not going to go into everything because the nature of this podcast is not to necessarily teach you Scrum or any particular agile methodology. It's more about the internal values, behaviors, mindset. So I'm going to touch on some of that, a lot of that actually that I've pulled out of here. And some of it, I will go into some changes that I think are worth noting that I think everyone needs to be aware of. But they did record the session, so you can see Ken and Jeff and some other folks in a couple of breakout sessions they had diving deeper into it. I think it's out on, I saw it out on scruminc.com, which is founded by Jeff Sutherland. And you can go there and check out the video. I think I just saw it today. So anyway, the video was done by Jeff and Ken. I was fortunate enough to be able to meet Ken Schwaber on two different occasions. Ken Schwaber, the co-founder of Scrum, along with Jeff. The first time I met him was in Columbus, Ohio at a Agile convention. And he was a keynote speaker with Alistair Coburn. I was about 5 years into Scrum, and he was big. He was really big. He still is big for everybody. And for me, I was very nervous. It was in this big ballroom, and I was with a bunch of people from work, and including my manager. And I said, I got to go up and meet him. And we walked up, and I was almost literally shaking. There wasn't a lot of people around, fortunately. And we walked up, and he was so nice. He came over, and the stage was elevated a little bit. He was up higher than me. He got down on his knees, on one knee, and leaned into me, shook my hand, talked to me. And come to find out, he and my manager had something in common because they both had Teslas. So they talked about Teslas. It was pretty neat. And to say I got to talk to him there. And then the second time I met him was not too much longer, maybe about another year. I was still at the same company. And there was as a lot of you probably have at companies you work at, every year they some companies give you, the bigger companies will give you a allotment of money for education, a couple thousand dollars or what have you. So I decided I wanted to use mine. I had an opportunity to go actually up to scrum.org in Boston and take some training classes with him. It was for his Nexus Scaling Scrum course. I believe it had just come out. And I was really excited. So I knew, I was hoping he would be there, and he was. And I flew up there by myself, got a hotel. It was over 3 days. It was a nice small group of about maybe 16 people, four people to a table. And Ken was there. And I'm sitting there and getting the donuts and coffee and fruit and what have you. And here comes Ken Schwaber. Oh my goodness. Was I excited? Got introduced to him, talked to him even more. I met his wife. His wife was very nice. And kind of funny thing, I had an iPhone, and it was an older, I think I had like a 4 or 5, which was out of date at the time already. And I left my charger back home. I didn't have it. So I said, does anybody have a charger that I can use? And she was gracious enough, Mrs. Schwaber, and allowed me to use her charger. So thank you if you're listening. Was my little kind of, I sat next to her, and it was fun. And Ken would take lunch breaks when we take lunch, and he would sit with us and talk. And we got through the 3 days, and he gave a talk, and he said, I have a, if someone can answer some question, he's going to give out a, you know, how they have the Scrum process out on a map. He was going to give away a signed copy of the Nexus process, the scaling Scrum using his Nexus signed. And oh my gosh, everybody wanted that. And he said, if you answer this question, I'll give you one of these. And of course I didn't get the question, and he gave one away, and I was disappointed. And then he goes, but wait, I'm just kidding. We have one for everybody. So I came out of there with a signed copy, Ken Schwaber, of the Nexus process, which is just awesome. If you're a big Scrum fan, I'm geeking out. I know it's like developers geeking out on some new application or code that they're working on. I know .NET, Java, but it says I geek out on that. It was very exciting for me. So I hope a lot of you can relate to that. So anyway, that's my story. It's my fun story. I'm sticking to it. So anyway, as I said, we'll be reviewing the Scrum guide. So let's just get right into it. So I've got it in my hands here. It, not the actual Scrum guide, but I read through that, and that has actually been condensed. I'll get to that. But what I have in front of me here is, I don't know, a dozen pages, maybe less than that, that I have that is actually comparing changes between the 2017 and 2020, just those two versions, not going back any further. It's not worth going back. So I'm going to be going over some of that. So let's get right into these notes that I have here. So the first noticeable difference is the length. As I said earlier, apparently I didn't know this. I found out on the presentation yesterday, Jeff actually said the original Scrum guide was actually over 100 pages. When they first gave this talk in 1995 at the UPSA conference. Oh, I have to side note here. Actually, not a side note, but Scrum is actually 25 years old this year. So congratulations. Happy birthday to Scrum. 25 years old this year. So back in 1995 at a UPSA conference, Jeff Sutherland and Ken Schwaber first gave their talk on Scrum, and the first guide was over 100 pages. So they've had several iterations since then. The 2017 version, for comparison, to see how they've iterated on it, right? They're doing what they preach, iterating, constantly improving. 2017 version was down to 17 pages. Continue. This month, the new version came out, 2020, it's 13 pages. They improved by 4 pages. So I don't know if they're trying to do that, but they've done it. So let's see what the next version comes out, if it'll be even shorter. So they're just constantly improving, tightening up some words here from what I saw, making it more concise. I would say very concise, removing some words, replacing some words with some things, replacing some sections. So let's go right into that. So what I have here is the first thing that I noticed. I'm just going to read exactly the verbiage they put in here. They say Scrum is used outside of software development. So a developer is those that develop value and can include a scientist, analyst, researchers, developers, or other specialists that do work. Now, the main thing I noticed here is they have the word developer in quotes. So in the past, Scrum was always made up of the dev team, the Scrum Master, and the product owner. Now they're calling it a developer. So they're making that distinction that everybody on the team is a developer to be more inclusive, as you said, as it said, sorry. Scrum is used outside of software development. And that's huge. I'm glad to hear them say that, because as I've talked about here on the Agile Within, and we'll talk about more, is that Agile can be used in your life. Scrum process, the retrospective, the daily stand-up, things like that. I've heard people do that. Planning, all those come from Scrum. So Scrum is actually coming out and saying that it can be used in your daily life, not just in software development. It actually comes out and says it. So I thought that was pretty exciting. Moving on here, some more copy changes. 2020, they are talking about, let me see here, the definition of Scrum. They're talking about 2020 says, and again, I'm going to read it verbatim. Scrum is a lightweight framework that helps people, teams, and organizations generate value through adaptive solutions for complex problems. Back in 2017, it read, a framework, Scrum is a framework within which people can address complex adaptive problems while productively and creatively delivering products of the highest possible value. So a little tweak there. Moving down through here, some other noticeable things. Again, I'm not reading every single thing, just some things that I think are important to those of us on this podcast. It says here that now this whole thing has been added completely here. What I read you was a modification. Here has been completely new. And it reads, in a nutshell, Scrum requires a Scrum Master to foster an environment where, four bullet points here, where a product owner orders the work for a complex problem into a product backlog. The Scrum team turns a selection of the work into an increment of value during a sprint. The Scrum team and its stakeholders inspect the results and adjust for the next sprint. Four, repeat. So it's calling out more specifically the requirements for a Scrum Master, the environment they need to foster. So it's getting a little bit more defined there. This is a brand new section. Moving down here, another brand new section that was not in 2017 reads as follows: various processes, techniques, and methods can be employed within the framework. Scrum wraps around existing practices or renders them unnecessary. Scrum makes visible the relative efficacy of current management, environment, and work techniques so that improvements can be made. So I think that's pretty important. That's brand new. So it says Scrum wraps around existing practices or renders them unnecessary. So in the past, Scrum has said it's a lightweight framework that other things can be added to it. Now here, they're saying Scrum can wrap around other things and in some cases render what is happening in the organization completely obsolete anymore. It takes the place of it. That's pretty powerful. Scrum makes visible the relative efficacy of current management, environment, and work techniques so that improvements can be made. So Efficacy, rather, is it adding value? Is it worthwhile there? Is it helping? Is it doing what it's supposed to be doing? So if not, Scrum can make that visible and help for improvements in the company. I think that's pretty important there. The next one that I called out here is the history of Scrum. The theory has been rewritten. And one thing I noticed in here is they're incorporating the words lean, lean thinking. Lean, as many of you know, if some of you don't know, lean is all about reducing waste. It's mainly in manufacturing. Agile is about doing things quicker, faster, more efficient. So what they say here in 2020 is Scrum is founded on empiricism and lean thinking. Empiricism asserts that knowledge comes from experience and making decisions based on what is observed. Lean thinking reduces waste and focuses on the essentials. Scrum employs an iterative, incremental approach to optimize predictability and to control risk. Scrum engages groups of people who collectively have all the skills and expertise to do the work and share or acquire such skills as needed. The things worth noting here, as I mentioned, the lean thinking, it's actually calling out that Scrum says it's founded on not only empiricism, which, if you're not familiar with that word, it is basically the transparency, inspection, and adaptation. That's empiricism. And based on what making decisions based on what we know at the moment and historical data. So actually saying it's founded on empiricism and lean thinking, reducing waste. That's pretty big. And it says Scrum encourages groups of people to work collectively who have the expertise to work or share or acquire skills such needed. That's new. So to acquire the skills, if they don't have those skills, Scrum is, we know a Scrum team is cross-functional. They should have all the skills they need. And it says here, now it says here, if they don't have the skills, they should go out and get them. So that's continuous learning. So I see some hints here of bringing in lean, bringing in other methodologies, which it says it is fine to do that, but they're actually calling it out and saying that they're doing it. So that's cool. Now, the three Scrum pillars, as I mentioned, are transparency, inspection, adaptation. They have updated those three. To transparency, they added artifacts that have low transparency can lead to decisions that diminish value and increase risk. Transparency enables inspection. Inspection without transparency is misleading and wasteful. So transparency in Scrum is all about mainly around visualizing the backlog, not having anything hidden. The dev team, the developer now, we're calling that, the developers, all the work they're working on should be visible on a card, on the board, not some one-offs between them and the business or some secret work that's going on. No, we want everything on the board transparent. And then we inspect upon that. So any artifacts, which would be the sprint backlog, the product backlog, the increment, that have low transparency, they lead to decisions that diminish value and increase risk. That would be true. We could be working on lower value, right? Increasing risk, we're not working on the right things. That's pretty important. The second pillar, inspection, it adds to help with inspection. Scrum provides cadence in the form of its five elements. Inspection enables adaptation. Inspection without adaptation is considered pointless. Scrum events are designed to provoke change. So we inspect in order to adapt. If we inspect and don't adapt, what's the purpose? I've been in retrospectives before where, actually not in them, but I've taken over for a Scrum Master where the team told me they did retrospectives. They inspected, talked about it, and moved on. If you don't come out of a retrospective with action items, a list of action items that you can then work on, we would even create cards on some other teams I was on and put them on the board to actually address these team improvement issues. But if you're just inspecting, as this other team told me, they didn't like the retro. They said it was pointless. Of course it's pointless. You're inspecting and you're just talking about it. You're not getting anywhere. That's worthless. That's what's saying here. It's pointless. Adaptation, they added, adaptation becomes more difficult when the people involved are not empowered or self-managing. A Scrum team is expected to adapt the moment it learns anything new through inspection. I kind of emphasize that first sentence when people are not empowered or self-managing. They actually changed that word self-managing. It used to say self-organizing, so it's now self-managing. I think hinting at the fact of micromanaging managers, people micromanaging the team, managers, directors, outside people trying to tell the team what to do, that's a big no-no. They're actually calling it out. Scrum teams are supposed to be empowered, self-directed when at all possible, or at least Scrum Masters should be leading them to become more self-managed and should need, I'm a Scrum Master, should need me less and less, should need a manager less and less. At a former job, a bunch of Scrum Masters there and I, we would joke, half serious, half kidding, that we're working ourselves, that our job is to work ourselves out of a job. Now, I don't really want to work myself out of a job, but the basic idea is if I do my job well, the Scrum team should get to a point where they should be high performing and need me less and less. Now, I have been on a Scrum team where they were high performing and we lost our product owner and the business started not giving us support, and I pulled back and the team almost fell apart. So even high performing teams, I kind of fell into that experiment, not on purpose, backwards into that experimenting that high performing teams still need a Scrum Master. So if you're out there, you have a high performing team, you think your team doesn't need you anymore, they do. Try to disappear a little bit, run an experiment and for a sprint and see what happens. I bet you they'll still need you. You'll feel loved. So adaptation, that was all for that. The Scrum values have been updated. As we all know, Scrum does have values of courage, respect, and whatnot. But what they added here to the values is, and I'll read it, these values give direction to the Scrum team with regard to their work, actions, and behavior. The decisions that are made, the steps taken, and the way Scrum is used should reinforce these values, not diminish or undermine them. The Scrum team members learn and explore the values, as they work with the Scrum events and artifacts. When these values are embodied by the Scrum team and the people they work with, the empirical Scrum pillars of transparency, inspection, and adaptation come to life, building trust. That's all been added around the Scrum values. I'm sorry, I don't have the full Scrum values here with me, as again, I'm not going to do a deep dive in it, but if you go out and look at the Scrum guide, they'll list all the values there. There's five or six of them. They did update it in the last 2017 version, their values. Scrum team changes. There are some changes here. This isn't a very big section. Just real quick, in the past, they used to say 3 to 9 development team members plus a PO and a Scrum Master, which I am. Now it's saying 10 people or less, including the PO and Scrum Master. So if you do the math there, that's 9, 10, 11. Now they're saying 10 or less. So before they were saying 11, now they're saying 10 or even less than that. So, and they do insert a section here about scaling. They mentioned no scaling in 2017. Which was kind of shocking, as I told you, I went to the Ken Schwaber's class on Nexus on scaling, and that was actually in 2015. And so when they came out with the 2017 version, they had no mention of that. I know Safe had come out, I believe. I don't know, Safe came out in maybe 2010. So it took 10 years for them to start mentioning scaling. I thought that was interesting. It seems like they're competing. There's Scrum at Scale out there, which is Jeff Sutherland. So it seems like there's a lot of competition for that. So here they put in scaling verbatim. If Scrum teams become too large, they should consider reorganizing into multiple cohesive Scrum teams, each focused on the same product. Therefore, They should share the same goal. Product goal, this is new, I'll get to that then later. Product backlog and product owner. I've actually been on a team just kind of like this. There was three teams. I was on one of the three teams. I was a business analyst and obviously in Scrum. And we all had BAs. We all had developers. It was for a mobile platform. We had one product owner. We all pulled from the same backlog. So that's what this is saying here. So that is true. We all had, iOS developers, and then we had Android developers. We had UI, UX people. It was big, but it worked well. We did a scrum of scrums as well, which is after the daily scrum, a representative from each three of the teams, not necessarily the scrum master, met right away and discussed any dependencies they had with one another. And it worked out really well. So if you're doing that, it works fine. What they're mentioning here, I have experienced it. It works great. They do put in this, they hit on this a lot. Another thing they hit on, in addition to product goals, is big. It's coming later. Bring up this accountabilities, they call it. Instead of responsibilities, it's now accountabilities, which is a little higher on the ranking than responsibility. So accountabilities, they say Scrum defines three specific accountabilities. It's holding within the Scrum team. It's holding the developers accountable, the product owner accountable, and the Scrum Master accountable. No longer saying they have responsibility. So if you're responsible for something, it means you're probably the one that does it, right? Like I was thinking about this. I was like, okay, what does that look like? So like in my mind, and hope this makes sense to you, you're responsible. Like if I'm on a baseball team, I'm responsible for pitching. I'm responsible for batting or fielding, right? That's my responsibility. That's like my job, right? My responsibility. I'm trying to win the game. But the ultimate accountability comes down to who? The manager, right? Whenever the team, the baseball team in this case, has a losing season, and if they have too many losing seasons, who gets fired? Usually the manager, and then probably even the GM above him, who has ultimate accountability, right? So the GM hires the manager, manager's hired to win the games. The manager and the GM pick the players. The players are at the manager doesn't actually go out there and throw the pitch. The manager can replace the pitcher with another pitcher to try to help the team win, but the manager isn't responsible for throwing the pitch. You get the idea there. He has ultimate accountability. So it's saying everybody here is both accountable and sometimes responsible for doing the work. The product owner and scrum masters aren't usually responsible for doing the work, but if they are, they can be a developer and do the work. That's not typically been the case in environments I've been in, but it can happen. So that's what that's saying here. We'll cover that more in a bit. And it's saying here the term role has been removed from the guide, and in some cases has been replaced with the term accountabilities. So it's not your role, it's holding you accountable. So it's kind of stepping it up a little bit, saying we're accountable, not just responsible. We have an ultimate accountability for delivering. So I think that's pretty important. Okay, so it breaks this down. Developers are accountable. So it's saying here, it adds specifically, the specific skills needed by the developers are often broad and will vary with the domain of work. However, the developers are always accountable for creating a plan for the sprint, which is the sprint backlog that happens in sprint planning. Instilling quality by adhering to a definition of done. I won't necessarily go into the definition of done. Adapting, again, that word adapting, one of the three pillars. Adapting their plan each day toward the sprint goal. Adapting the plan happens in the daily stand-up. And holding each other accountable as professionals. I thought that last is pretty huge. Holding each other accountable. That's when you know you have a high-performing team, when they hold each other accountable. Not in a negative way where they get to the point where there's not hurt feelings. They just understand, yep, you know what? I messed up, even though in Scrum we don't point fingers and point blame, but yep, you know what? You didn't get that done. Yep, I didn't. You're right. Okay. Won't happen again, right? Product owner is accountable. Again, it pulls out the word responsible and says the product owner is accountable for effective product backlog management, which includes developing and communicating the product goal, which is new, creating and clearly communicating product backlog items, ordering the product backlog items, and ensuring that the product backlog is transparent, visible, and understood. There's that word transparent again, coming back to the pillar. The product owner may do the above work and have responsibility, but in the end, remains accountable. Again, stepping it up. Scrum Master is accountable. Again, they replace the word responsible with accountable. Scrum Master, which is me, accountable for establishing Scrum and for the Scrum team's effectiveness. How the Scrum Master serves has changed. The Scrum Master is a servant leader. I won't go into that right now. Scrum Master coaches the Scrum team and organization. They help the Scrum team focus on creating high-value increments that meet the definition done. This is all new. Causing the removal of Scrum team impediments. I thought that was interesting. In the 2017 comparison, it says removing dev team impediments. Again, getting at that responsibility. 2020 says causing the removal of Scrum team impediments. So it's saying Scrum Master isn't necessarily responsible for it. Someone else can remove the impediment, which high-performing teams can remove a lot of their impediments. That's great. So I've already experienced that. So, but I can help cause the removal of impediments by getting with the manager, escalating things up, doing whatever I have to do to be involved in it. I don't necessarily have to have ultimate responsibility, but I can be involved in it. Another, removing barriers between stakeholders and the Scrum teams and helping find techniques for effective product goal definition and product backlog management. Product goal is they focus on product a lot here. Event changes to the events. So the events in Scrum, I can go over that. They have the daily stand-up, or called the daily Scrum, the retrospective, the planning, and the sprint review. And then they also have a refinement session. So now in here, they talk about one important thing is in the planning, usually they talk about planning is what are we going to do? What stories are we going to do? What work are we work on and how? Dev team comes up with a plan, how they're going to get it done. This talks about, adds a third component of why. Why is this sprint valuable? Very important. Daily Scrum, the purpose, they say, make it less prescriptive. They're taking out the three questions. What did you do yesterday, today, and any impediments? They change that to the purpose of the daily Scrum is to inspect progress towards the sprint goal and adapt the sprint backlog as necessary, adjusting the upcoming planned work. They take out having to ask the three questions. They change the daily Scrum structure, saying that it doesn't have to adhere to any format. It says the devs can select whatever structure and techniques they want, as long as their daily Scrum focuses on progress toward the sprint goal and produces an actionable plan for the next day of work. This creates focus and improves self-management. The sprint review, it says the one important thing here, the sprint review is a working session and the Scrum team should avoid limiting it to a presentation. That's pretty important. I think that was huge there. A lot of Scrum teams, even the ones I've been on, think it's a presentation. They're presenting something to the audience. The audience sits back. No, it needs to be engaged. If you're just presenting to a team, you're on a team presenting to stakeholders and they're just sitting back and listening and watching you do these PowerPoint slides. No, the best ones I had were interactive, where we were in some pre-prod environment, staging environment, as close to prod as possible. And the product owner actually, we gave her the mouse and said, drive. And here's our story. Do it. Go in and do this. That was, talk about interactive. That was great. She gave us some great feedback and I would highly recommend trying that. It was really awesome. So let's see here again. Okay, product. This is the big, they really get into product here. They actually define a product. It's called product defined in the section. A product is a vehicle to deliver value. It has a clear boundary, known stakeholders, well-defined users or customers. A product could be a service, a physical product, or something more abstract. And then it introduces the idea of a product goal, which is brand new in this version. It includes the concept of product goal. There's 16 references. I'm not going to go over all those, but this is how important I think they're stressing product. There are 16 references to this in the 2020 guide. I think that's pretty important. As if you've been around Agile for a while, you probably know that there's a lot of focus on moving from projects to products. It's not new, but there's more focus on it. I've been around Safe. That's big. As a man named Mick Kirsten, I mentioned it before on my show, who wrote a book called From Projects to Products. And it's hard for people to get their head around that. So I think maybe that's why they have this product goal in there all throughout here. 16 different places is where they mention it. And so they have the concept of, there's always been the concept of a sprint goal, but now they add the product goal. So that's very important. So the term vision has been removed from the Scrum Guide. They got rid of that. The definition of done has been expanded. They include the definition of done 17 times in the new guide. Now, definition of done is nothing new. They're just expanding it. They expand it to a formal description of the state of the increment, which is, the increment is, if you're not familiar with Scrum, the increment is what is done at the end of the sprint. That's the product increment, what you delivered. That meets your definition of done. Every team should have a definition of done. So description of the state of the increment when it meets the quality measurements required by the product and describes its connection to the product backlog and the increment as the moment a product backlog item meets the definition of done and increment is born. So definition of done is very important. I always when I take over a team, I start off with that and something called the working agreement. I'm not going to go into that, but the definition of done can be reviewed and updated as often as needed, but I find a good place to do it is in the retrospective. That's, you have everyone's attention, you're inspecting, you're adapting, that's perfect time for it. They say the definition of done creates transparency by providing everyone a shared understanding of what work was completed as part of the increment. If a product backlog item does not meet the definition of done, it cannot be released or even presented at the sprint review. Instead, it returns to the product backlog for future consideration. If the definition of done for an increment is part of the standards of the organization, all Scrum teams must follow it as a minimum. If it is not an organizational standard, the Scrum team must create a definition of done appropriate for the product. I found each team usually has its own definition of done. I haven't worked in companies where they've had a standard one like it's talking about there, but some of you that work at really big companies may have that. It does go on to say that developers are required to conform to the definition of done. Yeah, if you agree to it, you all agree to it, you should stick to it. Sometimes it gets created in a Word document and forgotten about. You need to probably put it up somewhere. Since we're not co-located anymore due to COVID, so it's kind of important that maybe you show it to them, maybe every sprint at least. If there are multiple Scrum teams working together on a product, they must mutually define, and comply with the same definition of done. So if you have three teams working on the same product, like I was, you have the same definition of done because you wanted the same quality. That's really what it's getting at. The same quality coming from the same people developing the same product. And finally here, it talks about commitment added for each artifact. It says the new Scrum team connects a unique commitment. New Scrum Guide, I'm sorry, connects a unique commitment for each artifact as follows. So here, the artifact is on the left-hand side connecting to the commitment. Talks about product backlog, connects to the product goal. Sprint backlog connects to a sprint goal. And the increment connects to a definition of done. And that is it. That's, again, not, I didn't go through every single thing there, but these are the notes that I took. And if you are interested, I would highly recommend getting the Scrum Guide, 2020 Scrum Guide from scrum.org or scruminc.com. Ken Schwaber and Jeff Sutherland, respectively. It obviously is the guiding star for Scrum, and it was a big deal, and it's very excited. I'm very excited to do this review today with you. I hope you've enjoyed it. So that has been this episode of The Agile Within. Once again, don't forget to review us on iTunes. Email me, gregmiller@theagilewithin.com. Instagram, The Agile Within. And Facebook, The Agile Within. So that has been another episode of The Agile Within, where, once again, we remind you and help you to be more agile.